have different kinds of effects on different classes of living entities. So it's interesting to note that overall, Krishna's flute bewilders everyone's mind. It attracts everyone. And yet, there are certain specific notes which have some special impact on a certain class of people. Yesterday we were talking about how by hearing Krishna's flute, Brahma sitting on the lotus flower becomes astonished. The chief of the Gandharvas, a Tumburu, also becomes astonished. Also we heard how Lord Shiva stops playing his Dindima drum. All the demigods and the great sages like the four Kumaras also become disturbed. And all this happens when Krishna plays the first note, first of these eight. And even Anantadev, who is a Vishnu Tattva, who is Vishnu himself, an expansion of Vishnu, he also becomes dizzy and starts swaying to and fro when he hears the flute sound. Otherwise, Anantashesh is very calm and he is holding all these unlimited planets easily upon his heads and his hoods. But when he hears Krishna's flute, then he starts moving back and forth. So all these things happen upon Krishna's playing the first tune of his flute. The second tune makes the Yamuna flow backwards. So there's a nice verse which is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, this is the verse that Jiva Goswami quotes in his commentary to that section of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where Rupa Goswami is talking about the Venu Madhurya, the sweetness of Krishna's flute. And this is part of the famous Venu Gita, the 21st chapter of the 10th canto. And this particular verse is the 15th chapter. So please remember, we are talking about the second tune that Krishna's flute vibrates, and that makes the Yamuna and other river bodies flow backwards. So have you all got the sheets of paper? You need more? The back. There are different chapters of the 10th canto which are called by different names. The Gopi songs of separation are called the Gopi Geet, and there is a Yugala Geet, and there is also the Venu Geet. The Venu Geet is the 21st chapter. You can keep a few extra for the latecomers, so that some for the Matajis and some for the Prabhus here. Please give it to those who come late. Nadyastada tadupadharya mukunda gitam. Avarta lakshita mano bhava bhagna vegaah. Alingana sthagita murmi bhujer murare. Grinanti pada yugalam kamalopahara. Nadyastada tadupadharya mukunda gitam. Avarta lakshita mano bhava bhagna vegaah. Alingana sthagita murmi bhujer murare. Alingana sthagita murmi bhujer murare. Vrinanti padayugalam kamalopaharah. When you chant these verses, please make a note of the diacritic marks and try to pronounce clearly. So we're deliberately having these verses here, so it's like a practice for us to keep chanting the proper way. Yes. Nadyastadatat upadharya mukunda gitam. Avarta lakshita mano bhava bhagna vega. Alingana sthagitam urmi bhujer murare. Krinanti pada yugalam kamalopahara. Avarta lakshita mano bhava bhagna vega. Alingana sthagita murmi bhujer murare. Nanti pada yugalam kamalopahara. Ladies, anyone? Nadyastadatadupadharya mukunda gitam. Avarta lakshita mano bhava bhagna vega. Alingana sthagita murmi bhujer murare. Vrinanti padayugalam kamalopahara. Srila Prabhupada's translation. When the rivers hear the flute song of Krishna, their minds begin to desire him, and thus the flow of their currents is broken, and their waters are agitated, moving around in whirlpools. Then, with the arms of their waves, the rivers embrace Murari's lotus feet, and holding on to them, present offerings of lotus flowers. Nadyastada. Nadya, Nadyaha means the rivers. Tada means at which time, when. Upadharya means to hear. Mukunda Gitam, the song of Mukunda, the song of Krishna. Meaning here the song of Krishna's flute. Avart lakshita manobhava bhagna vegaha. Their waters are agitated, their currents are broken, and they start moving in whirlpools. Alingana sthagitam urmi bhujair. With the arms of their waves, they embrace grihananti pada yugalam, the two lotus feet of Krishna, and presenting kamala upaharaha. Upahara means a gift. So making offerings of kamala or lotus flowers. So this is the effect Krishna's flute playing has even on the water, on the Yamuna, and the flow of water in the Manasi Ganga, and so on. The third tune that Krishna plays, believe it or not, makes the moon stop moving. The moon stops in its tracks, because the moon is so astonished and bewildered by this extraordinary musical sound. The moon ceases to move. The fourth tune attracts the cows in particular. The cows leave everything and run up to Krishna, and they stand motionless with upraised ears to drink the nectar of Krishna's flute. So when Krishna particularly plays this fourth note, the cows come running. And this is also explained in the Venu Geet. This time the 13th verse. So let us read this verse which describes the effect Krishna's flute has on the cows.
Gavascha Krishna Mukha Nirgata Venu Gita. Piyusham Uttabhita Karna Putahi Pibantyaha. Shavah Snutastana Payah Kavalah Smatastho. Govindam Atmani Drishashru Kalah Sprishantyaha. Gavascha Krishna Mukha Nirgata Venu Gita. Piyusham Uttabhita Karna Putahi Pibantyaha. Shavah Snutastana Payah Kavalah Smatastho. Govindam Atmani Drishashru Kalah Sprishantyaha.
Each time different devotee, please chant.
Avascha Krishna Mukha Nirgata Venu Gita. Piyusham Uttabhita Karna Putai Pibantyaha. Shavah Snutastana Payah Kavalah Smatastho. Govindam Atmani Drishashru Kalah Sprishantyaha. Kavascha Krishna Mukha Nirgata Venu Gita. Piyusham Uttabhita Karna Putai Pibantyaha. Shavah Snutastana Payah Kavalah Smatastho. Govindam Atmani Drishashru Kalah Sprishantyaha.
Any Matajis would like to try?
Gavascha Krishna Mukha Nirgata Venu Gita. Piyusham Uttabhita Karna Putahi Pibantyaha. Shavah Snutastana Payah Kavalah Smatastho. Govindam Atmani Drishashru Kalah Sprishantyaha.
Srila Prabhupada's translation. Using their upraised ears as vessels, the cows are drinking the nectar of the flute song flowing out of Krishna's mouth. The calves, their mouths full of milk from their mother's moist nipples, stand still as they take Govinda within themselves through their tear-filled eyes and embrace him within their hearts. Gavaha. Gavaha means the cows. Krishna Mukha Nirgata. That which comes out of Krishna's mouth. Mukha means mouth. Nirgata means that which comes out. Venu Gita Piyusham. Piyusham means the nectar or amrit. Uttabhita Karna Putaihi Pibantyaha. Karna is ears. Putai means the holes. Uttabhita means to raise them. Pibantiha is to drink. So the cows are using their upraised ears as cups in which they can drink Pibantyaha, the nectar, Piyusham, of the Venu Gita, the song of the flute, which is flowing from Krishna's mouth, Krishna Mukha Nirgata. And Shavaha Snuta Stanapayah Kavalah Smatasthur. As far as the calves are concerned, and although their mouths are full of milk from their mothers, they stand still and they look at Krishna with tearful eyes. Drishashru Kalaha Sprishantyaha, and embrace him, embrace Krishna within their hearts. The cows and calves are equally stunned. The cows, they may have been eating their fodder, perhaps grazing on the grass, and perhaps there are some sprouts still sticking out of their mouths. And when they begin to hear Krishna playing his fourth note, then they stop chewing. And the fodder is still half chewed in the mouth, half coming out, half inside. And they stand there like painted pictures, just standing motionless, stunned into motionlessness by Krishna's flute. And the calves, who generally have a nature of being very restless and fidgety, just like human children are, they're usually dancing here and there, still they also become stunned. If any of you have visited our Goshala, Bhaktivedanta Swami Goshala, and you have seen the calf drinking mother, drinking milk from the mother, you will see that the mother stands still, but the calf is never still. It's always pushing and jostling and moving here and there, never still, even in the act of drinking milk. But when Krishna was playing the flute, and particularly this fourth note, then the calves also remained stunned even as they were drinking milk from their mother's udders. And the acharyas explain that the mouth remained full of milk. They couldn't leave their mother's udders, which they had. They were sucking the mother's udders, they couldn't leave, the mouths could not leave the udder. At the same time, they could not swallow the milk, so they just remained there in the same position, neither swallowing the milk, nor sucking in more milk, nor letting go the milk that was there in the mouth. So they also remained there. So elsewhere also Shukadev Goswami has used this analogy of painted pictures. Painted pictures do not move, they just remain there. So you can imagine the scene in Vrindavan with the cows, who are generally moving hither and thither, and the calves are frolicking up and down, jumping. But now when Krishna plays this, they're all standing still, like painted pictures. So this is the beautiful description given by Shukadev Goswami. And he says that the cows and the calves, they look at Krishna and embrace him within their hearts. The cows can express their affection for Krishna in so many ways. With their eyes, they see Krishna's beautiful form and embrace him within their hearts. Even the calves do that. With their nose, with their nostrils, they nuzzle up to Krishna and they smell his bodily fragrance. With their tongues, they lick his body. With their minds, they always remember his beautiful form. And they always, the elder, the cows, want to feed Krishna milk. So that's like a mother. So Krishna has fulfilled the desire. Do you know when? At what point did Krishna fulfill the desire of the cows to be like a mother? At the Brahma Vimohan Leela. And at that time, when Krishna assume the form of all the cowherd boys and the calves who had been stolen by Brahma and kept in a cave, Krishna for one whole year practically drank the milk directly from these cows in the form of the calves. In his Balya Leela And even sometimes in the later Pauganda age, Krishna would sometimes drink milk directly from the udders of the cows. But that was not something very usual. However, on this occasion, just when Krishna was about to finish his Kaumara age and about to enter his Pauganda age, he took the form of these calves and for 1 year drank the milk directly. Of course, the cows could not understand that this was Krishna, and neither could the mothers of the gopas, young gopa boys, understand that their sons were actually Krishna. But one thing that puzzled them enormously was that they were feeling as much love for their calves or their sons, as the case may be, as they were feeling for Krishna. Now this was unusual. Normally, parents love their children more than they love other children. But in Vrindavan, it is not so. The cows love their calves, and the mothers love their sons and daughters, no doubt. But everyone loves Krishna more than that. But for this 1 year, the older gopis and the cows also felt something that was different. They felt that the love they had for their offspring was as much as they felt for Krishna, and they could not understand why this was so. The answer, of course, is that Krishna had become their offspring for that year. So the cows of Vrindavan are also very fortunate. They were every day hearing Krishna's flute. The older gopas and gopis and the younger gopis, they remained behind in the village. The older gopas, of course, used to sometimes also take the older cows and go out. But they were in a different area. And the only people who really heard Krishna's flute sound throughout the day were the cowherd boys, the residents of the forest, like the trees, the birds and the animals, and also the cows and calves who were grazing with Krishna. So we can imagine how fortunate these glorious cows are, that they had so much of Krishna's association, and they also got to hear Krishna's flute, and this was the effect it caused on him. And then there is the fifth note that Krishna played on his flute, and this fifth note would make the gopis come running to him. We know that when Krishna went to the Vanshivat on the banks of the Yamuna in the middle of the night and played the flute, all the gopis left everything in their homes and their families to come running for Krishna. And it is this fifth note that is the most famous, that's the most well known. We all know the story behind Lord Jagannath. We know the Rath Yatra has its esoteric significance in that it represents the devotees, particularly the gopis, bringing Krishna from Jagannath temple, which represents Dwarka or Kurukshetra, to the Gundicha temple, which represents Vrindavan. And this goes back to the time of the solar eclipse in Krishna's time, when the Dwarkavasis as well as the Brajavasis reached Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse. And having taken their bath and so on, the Brajavasis saw Krishna, but they saw him as a king, as a prince, and they didn't like it so much. They were happy to see Krishna, but they would have been more happy to see Krishna as he used to be in Vrindavan as a cowherd boy, rather than as a prince. At that time, Srimati Radharani spoke a particular verse expressing a mood, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu composed a particular verse, Yaha Kaumara Haraha, which he would chant sometimes in front of Lord Jagannath, especially at the time of the Rath Yatra. And nobody understood the meaning of this verse except Swarup Damodar Goswami. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day went to the house of Haridas Thakur, the ashram, where Rupa Goswami also happened to be residing for the period that he was in Jagannath Puri, he noticed that there was a palm leaf stuck on the thatched roof, and that palm leaf had a particular verse which we are going to chant now, Priya Soyam Krishna Sahachari, which was exactly a purport to that verse, Yaha Kaumara Haraha, which Mahaprabhu used to chant at the time of the Rath Yatra. Mahaprabhu was surprised that Rupa Goswami could understand his mind, and lovingly he gently slapped him and said, how did you understand my deepest mind? And Haridas Thakur and Swarup Damodar were very happy, and they said, this means that you have showered your causeless mercy upon Sri Rupa. So this particular verse represents the mood that the Brajabasis, and in particular the gopis, felt when they saw Krishna in Kurukshetra, and they want to bring Krishna back here to Vrindavan. They want to see him as a cowherd boy playing his flute. And particularly you will note here, Panchama Jushe, which means the fifth note. We're just talking about eight tunes, and we mentioned that the fifth note brings the gopis madly running for Krishna's association. So let's chant this particular verse, which is quite well known amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Riyah soyam Krishna sahachari kurukshetra militas. Tathaham saradha tad idam ubhayah sangama sukham. Tathapyantah khelan madhura murali pancham jushe. Mano me kalindi pulina vipinayas prahiyati. Priya soyam Krishna sahachari kurukshetra melitas. Tathaham saradha tad idam ubhayah sangama sukham. Tathapyantah khelan madhura murali pancham jushe. Mano me kalindi pulina vipinayas prihyati. Yes. Priyah soyam Krishna sahachari kurukshetra melitas. Tathaham saradha tad idam ubhayah sangama sukham. Tathapyantah khelan madhura murali pancham jushe. Mano me kalindi pulina vipinayas prahiyati. Priyah soyam Krishna sahachari kurukshetra melitas. Tathaham saradha tat idam ubhayah sangama sukham. Tathapyantah khelan madhura murali pancham jushe. Mano me kalindi pulina vipinayas prahiyati. Mataji, is anyone? Priyah soyam Krishna sahachari kurukshetra melitas. Tathaham saradha tad idam ubhayah sangama sukham. Tathapyantah khelan madhura murali pancham jushe. Mano
mano me kalindi pulina vipinayas prahyati.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. This is a verse spoken by Srimati Radharani. My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but still I would like to go to the bank of the Yamuna beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan.
Priyaha, O my dear friend, Saha Ayam Krishnaha.
This is the same Krishna
who is my dear friend.
Sahachari, O my dear friend, Kurukshetra Melitas.
We are meeting now in Kurukshetra.
Tatha Aham Saradha.
Just as he is the same Krishna, I am also the same Radharani.
Tat Idam Ubhayoho Sangama Sukham.
And now that I am meeting Krishna again, definitely I am feeling happy.
Tathapi, nevertheless,
there is something lacking.
What is that?
Antaha, in my heart.
What do I want to do?
I want to be mana me kalindi pulina vipinaya.
I want to be on the banks of the Yamuna beneath the trees there.
Why?
Because I want to hear Krishna playing Khelana Madhura Murali, his sweet flute.
In which note?
Panchamajushe, in the fifth note.
I want to hear Krishna playing that fifth note
under the trees on the banks of the Yamuna.
Because this is the note that completely captivates the minds of the gopis, all the Brajabasis, but in particular the gopis.
And then there is the sixth tune or the sixth note that Krishna plays.
And that creates Sharad Ritu, the autumn season, replete with rich foliage, blossoms and fruits.
It is with this sixth note that even stones melt.
We were mentioning yesterday how Kavi Karnapur says that one of the apparent contradictions in the flute is that although it is very hard, being made of bamboo or jewel, etc., still it can soften even the hardest of substances like stone. And it is the sixth note that can actually make stones melt.
Also, it creates autumn.
The seventh note instantly ushers in all six seasons manifesting their full splendor with soft breezes and aromas of fresh flowers.
So that's the sixth and the seventh notes.
We experience six seasons.
Does anyone know the six seasons that we find here?
Six ritus.
Ritu means season.
Let's start from any point. From where would you like to start?
Vasant Ritu.
Vasant means what? In English?
Spring.
So spring season is called Vasant.
So Vasant, after that comes what?
Grishma.
Grishma means
summer.
That's number two.
Then number three?
Varsha.
That is monsoon. What are we experiencing now?
Varsha.
So this is the Varsha Ritu, the monsoon season.
Then number four,
Sharad.
What is Sharad?
Autumn.
Sharad season is the autumn season.
And then after Sharad,
Hemant.
Very correct. Hemant is what?
Winter, but there are two kinds of winters.
Hemant is the early winter. And after Hemant comes another season called
Shishir. Shishir is the deep winter, also called the dewy season when there's lots of dew. So normally we have these six seasons here. But Kavi Karnapur in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu mentions that since Vrindavan is a transcendental place, it's non-different from the Paravyoma Goloka Vrindavan, that Goloka Vrindavan which is in the spiritual world. Naturally, this Bhauma Vrindavan also transcends time. So, in a place that transcends time, where is the question of having six divisions like this? But nevertheless, just to fulfill and facilitate Krishna's pastimes, we do find these divisions of time even in the spiritual, real Vrindavan. These six seasons exist there only for Krishna's pleasure. And then Kavi Karnapur says, there are combinations also. The three combinations of two seasons each put together. So that's 6 plus 3. How much is that? 9. And there is a 10th season in which all six seasons occur simultaneously. So altogether, Kavi Karnapur says, you can find 10 varieties of seasons in Vrindavan. And each has its own different characteristics, like we find in the 20th chapter of the 10th canto. Krishna has described the autumn season, and before that he has described the monsoon, the Varsha Ritu and the Sharad Ritu. And he has described how beautiful everything becomes in the autumn season. The rainy season is actually very nice because everything becomes green and lush. In the monsoon season, everything has become dry, it is hot, and everything is brown. You don't see much greenery. But when the monsoon comes in, then everything comes alive. Different life forms in the earth. Everything is green and lush. There are flowering trees everywhere. But there is one problem with the rainy season, which we can see even now, that it creates all kinds of puddles of mud. Everything becomes very muddy. Everything is dirty with mud. The water is not clean. But after it has stopped raining, then whatever water has accumulated now becomes clean, swachha jalam. And everything is fresh. So you have the beauty of the monsoon season without the muddiness. So the autumn season is considered very beautiful, the most beautiful season amongst all. Amongst the six seasons, it is the spring, the Vasant Ritu, and the Sharad Ritu, or the autumn season, that are the two most beautiful seasons. And Krishna performs Rasalila in both. There is a Sharad Purnima night, which is particularly famous for his Rasalila, and he also performs the Vasanti Rasalila. But of the two, even the autumn is considered even more beautiful. So it is at this time that Krishna particularly plays his flute even more charmingly than ever at any other time. So the acharyas explain that actually, although autumn has many beautiful things to be talked about, the wonderful foliage and the flowers and so on, but the actual beauty of the autumn season, its actual ornament, is Krishna's flute playing, which really blossoms at this time. And that attracts everyone, especially the gopis. And that is why the Sharad Ritu is so charming. So the sixth and the seventh notes, the sixth one creates Sharad with all its foliage and everything else. And the seventh note creates all the six seasons at one time. How this is so is of course inconceivable. But any season, any of the six seasons can become prominent at any one point in time depending on what Leela Krishna is doing. And to facilitate that, Krishna enjoys being aided by his Leela Shakti. So suddenly when Krishna wants, or when Krishna's Leela requires, it may suddenly start raining. Sometimes when there is a need for everyone to be thirsty and moving, then there's the Grishma Ritu that comes in. In this way, Krishna's Leela Shakti in Vrindavan manifests so many wonderful things in Vrindavan just for Krishna's pastimes. And so Vrindavan becomes so beautiful and so charming that even Krishna actually becomes amazed when he looks at the Vrindavan Dham around him. He also becomes attracted. Oh, what a beautiful place is this Vrindavan. Krishna of course forgets that it is his own creation, but he marvels at his own creation. And this is a setting that is all created actually even by Krishna's flute playing. Krishna's Dila Shakti follows and immediately organizes everything that this flute wishes to do. And then there is the eighth note that Krishna plays on the flute. This eighth note takes the name of Srimati Radharani. It steals her self-control and sends her forcibly rushing to meet Krishna. And so overwhelmed does Srimati Radharani become upon hearing this eighth note that she puts the kajal is a black ointment that is generally put on the eyes. She puts that on her face instead of putting that on her eyes. And the kumkum, which is a red powder which is generally put even on the head and other parts, she actually puts that on her eyes. She has some pearl necklaces, instead of putting it on the neck, she puts it around her waist. She puts the anklets on her wrist. And in this way, Srimati Radharani loses her self-control when she hears the eighth note. And in this way, Krishna's eight notes, amongst all the unlimited other notes, they fascinate and attract everyone. For those who want to hear more and read more about Krishna's wonderful flute, read the 21st chapter of the 10th canto of the Venu Gita. Time does not permit us to go into detail.
What's that?
There's fire somewhere? All right. Okay, we'll let the Varsha Ritu take care of the fire. Maybe we can tell Krishna to manifest himself and swallow the fire like he did. The only difference is when Krishna followed the forest fire twice, he did it in which season? Which season did Krishna swallow the forest fire in? Summer, yes. It was peak summer and everything was dry. And just by friction between the twigs and the trees and so on, and the heat, everything just sparks sometimes in the summer season. That's how the forest fire came. And Krishna just swallowed the fire. And the cowherd boys were all around him, trying to protect Krishna from the flames. That was how much they loved him. And ultimately Krishna told them, just close your eyes, don't worry. And they all obediently closed their eyes, and Krishna just opened his mouth, whoop, and that was it. The fires was doused. So now Krishna has also doused this particular fire in his own way by his flute sound. So those of you who wish to hear more about this and read more about this, please refer to the 21st chapter. You can read the Krishna book and relish further descriptions of Krishna's flute playing. You can also find many, many references in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes so much about the flute playing of Sri Krishna and how in particular it attracts the gopis. So this is Venu Geet, Venu Madhuri, how everything is so sweet about Krishna, particularly his flute playing. So we'll chant one particular bhajan now, which I wanted to do in the beginning, but since we didn't have many devotees here, we'll chant it now. This is a bhajan written by Vallabhacharya called Madhurashtakam. since we are talking about the four madhuris, the four madhuriyas of Krishna, the four sweet things, let's hear what else is sweet about Krishna.